grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 14. I read to you again these words. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against it. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So far, the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. The question we must all confront is, who is Jesus? All four Gospels lead us to see who Jesus is and what he has done for us and for our salvation. Indeed, the more we learn about Jesus, the more we learn that he is not only God's Son, with all divine authority and power, but also that he uses this authority and power for our salvation. Knowing Jesus in this way, so that you will trust in him for your salvation, is the most important thing in the whole world that you need to know. Last week, we heard that Jesus had heard that John the Baptist had been killed, and that he had then left for a desolate place. But there was no getting away from the crowd. So late in the day, Jesus fed that crowd of over 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It had been a long day, exhausting, and now Jesus wanted some alone time when he can pray in private. So he sends his disciples on ahead in the boat while he stays behind to dismiss the crowd and be by himself. He'll catch up with them later. So the disciples are in the boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. Now, while we call it a sea, it's really just a medium-sized lake. It wouldn't have been a long trip to go from one place on the lake to another, as long as the weather was fair and the water calm. But that day, or rather that night, the sea was angry. A storm had brewed up. The waves were beating the boat, and the wind was against them. For the Sea of Galilee to turn into a turbulent, all of a sudden is not necessarily out of the ordinary. It's located about 60 miles to the south of Mount Hermon, which is about 9,000 feet high. And about 90 miles to the south is the Dead Sea, over 1,000 feet below sea level. So the whole stretch down that Jordan Rift Valley can be like a long wind tunnel, and storms can whip up quickly. Lake Galilee can suddenly become a stormy sea. Now, many of the men in this boat were professional fishermen, and they knew this lake better than anyone. So for them to be stuck out there battling the wind and the waves and making no progress, you know it's got to be bad. It's now the middle of the night, and they aren't getting anywhere. But then, they see Jesus walking toward them, walking on the sea. How can that be? They're terrified. They think it's a ghost. A person can't walk on the water, on the sea. Or can he? This one can. Their master, Jesus, is walking toward them on the sea. And while we often refer to this event as Jesus walking on the water, the text actually says that he was walking on the sea. And that's significant. For in the Bible, the sea generally carries the idea of a place of danger, a place of chaos, where man is literally out of his element. But here comes Jesus striding on the sea like it's no big deal. This tells us that Jesus is the Lord of the sea. He has mastery over it. Think of what we heard in our reading from Job this morning, where the Lord God says to Job, "If you enter into the springs of the sea, or walk in the recesses of the deep," meaning, you man can't do such a thing, but I can. I'm God. I created the sea and set limits for it and have authority over it. And now, here comes Jesus, walking on the sea as though he made it or owns it or something. In fact, this Jesus does have divine power and authority, even the authority over the stormy sea. And Jesus says to the disciples, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Whether they were more afraid of the wind and the waves, or more afraid of seeing what they thought was a ghost in the middle of the night, we don't know. But whatever their fears, Jesus wants them to stop fearing and take courage. Why? Because as he tells them, it is I. It is the presence of Jesus with us that will calm our fears. It is I. The Greek words are ego, eimi, I am, which reminds us of the name that God had given to Moses. When Moses asked him who he was, he said, "I am." For indeed, Jesus is God with us, Emmanuel. He promises his church even now, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus is here with us, dear friends, even on this stormy sea of our life. So what are you afraid of? Advancing age, health worries, mounting financial debt, something else that causes you great anxiety. These are the winds and waves that can make us feel like we're stuck and making no progress. We're exhausted. We feel like everything is against us. But here comes Jesus, striding out confidently to where we are and reassuring us, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Well, when Peter sees this. And impetuous as he often was, he's ready to join Jesus for a walk on the water. Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. And Peter, the experienced fisherman that he was, climbed out of the boat. And at first, things went rather well. Peter's able to take some steps and come toward Jesus. But then, he's distracted. He takes his eyes off of Jesus and starts looking at the wind. Well, of course, you can't really see the wind, but you can see what the wind is doing. And it's whipping up the waves pretty bad. He's afraid. He's beginning to sink. Peter here reminds us of what James wrote. The one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's Peter here, isn't it? Doubting Peter, double-minded Peter. It's good that he sees Jesus and trusts in his word, but now he's more focused on his negative circumstances, the stormy sea. And so he's double-minded, unstable, afraid, and he begins to sin. At times, we too may be double-minded, like doubting Peter. We take our eyes off Jesus, who invites us to come to him, who promises to sustain us, and we take our eyes off of him and look more at our worries and our fears. So what to do when we find ourselves overwhelmed with fear and sinking down? Do what Peter did in his desperation. He cried out, Lord, save me! That's a good prayer in all circumstances. Lord, save me. For you and I need his saving power every hour. Whether we're sinking under the waves, or even when our life is calm and we're making good progress, in any and every situation, we still need our Lord Jesus to save us. Lord, save me, Peter cries. And he's talking to the right man, because Jesus is Lord. And he does save. That's who he is. That's what he does. Even his name, Jesus, tells us that. For Jesus' name is also his job description. For he came into our world precisely to save us. And not just from a desperate situation like sinking under the waves, but to save us from something even more desperate, our sins. Remember what the angel told Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. From their sins. That's what we most desperately need saving from. Our sins. Our sins would truly sink us. They would sink us eternally. Death and damnation would be the result. But our Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven for us men and for our salvation. He, God's only Son, Lord himself, and walked all the way to the cross in order to do the saving job. It took the death of God's own Son to pay for all the sins of the whole world, including yours. Now, because of Christ, you are forgiven and are right with God. You are saved, and you will be saved and saved forever. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Beloved, my fellow baptized, you have already been drowned under the water. You've been buried with Christ in the waters of holy baptism. And Christ, by his resurrection, has come and taken you by the hand and pulled you from death to life. Now you live in Christ and with Christ, and you will share in his resurrection and eternal life. Now you are safe in the boat, safe in Christ's church, where he is present with us. The wind of fear has ceased. The waves of doubt have subsided. Jesus is with us. And we will reach our destination safe on the other side, on the other shore. And so now, with the disciples, we worship our Lord and say with them, "Truly, you are the Son of God." In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.